Brown may be optimistic about a deal being reached, but he's not so optimistic about the state of the planet as the effects of climate change start to set in. Among those effects, weather extremes. We're seeing that in India right now. The heaviest rainfall in more than 100 years is ravaging parts of southern India. More than 13 inches of rain fell in the city of Chennai in just 24 hours. Much of that city is underwater now, and thousands have been forced to flee from their homes. Extreme weather events like these grab the headlines, but just as devastating to people's lives are other less dramatic changes in climate. The World's Sam Eaton has a story of a place, also in India, where rising sea levels are threatening to wipe out millions of people's homes.
Shonaban Bibi is a 45-year-old single mother. She lives in a tiny riverside shack in the Sundarbans, a vast network of coastal islands spanning the border between India and Bangladesh. Bibi's only income is from rolling bidis, the local cigarettes, a status that ranks her among India's poorest. She says sometimes she and her 12-year-old daughter only eat one meal a day, sometimes nothing at all. And she says every year she faces more problems. The water keeps flooding her home here in the village of Dokhali, keeping her from work and forcing repairs she can't afford. Bibi says she already fled the area once after losing everything to a cyclone, but an illness sent her home after 3 years working in a factory. Now she worries she'll have to leave again once the rapidly eroding land under her home is gone for good, which may not be that far off.
Average sea level rise in this part of the world is double the average sea level rise in the rest part of the world. This is number one.
Asish Ghosh is an ecologist from Kolkata who's been working in the Sundarbans for decades.
Average sea surface temperature rise is also significantly higher than the rest of the world. So these two combinations is making that 4.5 million people who are living in India and Sundarban one of the most vulnerable people in the entire global scenario.
It's a complex problem. Water is not only rising, the land here is also sinking. At the tip of Sagar Island, about 100 miles away from Bibi's home, on the Bay of Bengal, that vulnerability Ghosh speaks of is all too stark.
The land is eroded, and when the high tide comes up, it comes up to here.
He points inland, or what used to be inland, to where the tide has surged more than 100 yards past the eroded earthen dike we're standing on, past several abandoned and badly damaged homes, and into rice fields now flooded with seawater. Ghosh says tens of thousands of people have already been driven from this landscape, a slow drip exodus that's about to become a full-blown crisis.
Between 2030, 2030, and 2050, we have to move more than 1 million people from this island area of Sundarban to the mainland area. And are we ready for that?
The answer, according to Anurag Danda of WWF India, is a resounding no. Danda says unlike cyclones that displace thousands of people at a time, these localized, gradual changes go largely unnoticed by governments and international aid groups.
Unfortunately, the recognition of this environmental change is just not there.
But a recent report prepared for the UN says when you add up the mounting losses from climate change, it's these small-scale disasters that are taking the biggest toll on the world's poorest people. And here in the Sundarbans, Danda says government inaction leaves most of these environmental migrants and the towns they flee to fend for themselves.
The small towns within the Sundarbans are growing at such a rapid pace that they're being overwhelmed in terms of capacities to deal with that kind of population.
Danda says the region could face instability and conflict as the flood of migrants grows, not to mention the influx from the even more populated islands just across the border in Bangladesh. It's a fear shared by Asish Ghosh.
As a scientist of 50 years' experience, I don't think that I can assure anyone, don't be worried, everything is all right. No, it's not going to be all right.
But Ghosh says it doesn't have to be hopeless. Instead of leaving the migrants to their own fate, Ghosh envisions a massive retraining program to transform the Sundarbans' unskilled farmers and fishers into a new workforce for India's surging economy.
We need carpenter, we need electrician, we need plumber, crane operators.
Recasting migration as an opportunity for a better life, rather than a measure of desperation. A means of hope in a region where hope is hard to come by. But for now, that opportunity remains just a hope for people like Uttam Deloy. He knows what it means to be displaced by rising seas. He's already moved once to Sagar Island from nearby Goramara Island. Deloy says the land he and his family left behind is gone, but he's one of the lucky ones. Deloy came to Sagar under a government resettlement program that no longer exists. But he says his new life now feels equally perilous. Deloy says he's heard that Sagar will suffer the same fate as the island he left behind, which is now half underwater. Three other islands in the Indian Sunderbans have already disappeared entirely. And he fears his new home could soon follow. For The World, I'm Sam Eaton, Sagar Island, India.